Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to stand as long as I can on this one. They made this for me to sit and talk to you. Let's open with prayer. Father, we come before you looking for your word, your encouragement, Father, your teachings. As we go into your word, Father, help us understand. Give us grace for everybody else. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was preparing, it was a struggle. Each week we pray for Kevin to bring something to us that's live and touches our life. We pray because the attack of the enemy, when you try to prepare the word, is quite intense. Your mind is filled with all kinds of doubts, all kinds of accusations. Everything that enemy whispers in your ear to stop you from giving witness to what you believe. This word seems out of step for me this morning, but I'm going to deliver it anyway. I want you to turn to Numbers. This is when the people that had been told to go into the land went into the land, came back and gave a horrible report to discourage everybody from going into the land. And we're going to look at the price they paid for that, except for two. Starting in verse 22. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. It's not a group you want to be among, is it? Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. These people were on a journey, pulled out of Egypt, delivered out of Egypt by many signs and miracles. Went into the wilderness, were pursued by Egypt. The Lord destroyed Egypt and brought them into this wilderness. Then they made their way to the entrance of the land. And then they wouldn't go in. They went in to check it out. It all seemed bad. There was much fruit there, much honey, everything the Lord promised, but there was enemies there. Huge. Made them feel small, unworthy, not able to. And so they brought back a report to the leaders and the people and turned the people away. We'll read on. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Out of all the people in Israel, all the men in Israel, two, Caleb and Joshua, wanted to go in. Even Moses lost his chance to enter in. Not because of this disobedience, but because of another. When the Lord speaks to a congregation of people, when He gives a word to the congregation, or a message to the congregation, and the Lord's people refuse, there are terrible things that happen. Filled with mercy and grace. It seems strange to say that, but it is. A little later on in this same chapter, this is what they inherited from this. Your carcass you shall fall in the wilderness, verse 29. And all that were numbered among you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murdered against me. It would have been great to be 19 then. You would have done the math in your head if you were a kid or an adult. At 19, I get to go in. He's going to bring us back around this land. He promises to do that. And we're going to enter in, but not till all the people 20 years old or die in the wilderness. So you could count your days in the wilderness according to that too, if you were so minded. You say, I'm 19, I'm going to be 49 when we go in. That's how my mind works. I take things like that and I look at them and say, I would want to have been 19 then. Or maybe not even born, So I wouldn't have to suffer in the wilderness for 40 years. But in the wilderness, those 40 years, did God forsake His people? No. He made provision for them. He gave leadership to them. He gave them something to see, to move by, to when to move, what to do, how to worship. All these things were given to him in the wilderness. When I look at my own journey through my life, because that's what a journey is, isn't it? From the time you're born till the time you die is a journey, a race. Something that you're going to be held accountable. And you're going to make moves in your life from one area to another. And every move you make, you pray about. Yes, Lord, is this right? Is this where I belong? And it's strange to me that He moves you among the Lord's people from this location to that location, from this fellowship to that fellowship, because it feels like you should stay. But that's not what He has for you. What's He testing every time He gives you something to do?
Obedience.
Your faith. Your ability to hear Him and do what He says. That's a huge test. Every one of them is a huge test. Do you follow everyone, or do you sometimes fail? I think sometimes we fail. Hopefully most of the times we don't, but sometimes we do. He'll speak to you very small things too. Not always this great. Go to the land. It won't always be that great of a thing. It'll be, call this brother. Or, tell your children this. Or visit this friend. Or pray for somebody. Exercise your intercessory power. We don't see very clearly our own lives. We seem to see clearly other people's lives. So we get more confused about our own life than we do about others. We have the enemy whispering things into our ears that aren't true. And we have to combat them. We have the Spirit show us things in our life that we need to change or repent of. And that's hard to do. The most amazing thing is we're allowed to argue with the Lord. Don't you find that amazing? That you have a voice, like you can speak back to me. I think you're wrong. That's right. Never does. But you have to speak it, don't you, when you think he's wrong? Don't you have to speak your mind to the Lord? Can you think you can just duck and cover and have these things in your heart, not express them to him and go on with him? For a while, maybe. But he'll bring you to a place of brokenness. He'll bring you to a place where you have to cry out, Lord, help me. I really like that one cry out in the scriptures that says, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm glad it's in the Bible. Because I've had to fight that out. And I had to reach out to him and tell him, I just can't do this. Yes, you can. When you reach the point in your walk with Jesus that you find yourself totally dependent on him for every little thing, the thing that's absent is pride. You don't have any pride left. You've come to realize who you are, how bad you are, that there's nothing good in you. There's no thing that you're going to accomplish that's going to be so great, that's going to lift you up. And you realize how much grace is important to your life. How many people have shown you the way? How many words you've heard? How many messages you've heard? All the things you've learned, all come down to your dependence on Christ. We have here a time when the children disobeyed and it cost them. And the Lord didn't turn back from the cost he applied, but then he brought them back around to the same spot, said, enter in. And they didn't fail that time. They went over. Let's look a little bit about our race in Philippines. There you go, I was going to say Philippines. Philippines. Somebody's on track. I take as my face is getting close to the end. Anybody who's over 70 can say that. We don't know when our race will end. We're not given the number of our days. We're just given life, we're born again, and we have life. We don't know how long our bodies will go on, nor the day that the Lord has for coming to him. When I found that out, you can ask the Lord, will I meet you in the air, or will I come home first and come back with you? That's the two questions you can ask. Because our faith tells us, he's going to return. Now they didn't. I don't know how. If you do an examination of the 400 years between the gospel or between the Old Testament, and then you go and read what Peter's, what the disciple came to the other disciples and said, "We think we found him, the Messiah. Come." And they're encouraging him to come. That means for 400 years, somebody kept faith. That's amazing to me. 400 years, they were still looking for him. Now, we've been, since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his promise to return, we've been looking for him. Amazing, isn't it? That something so touched your heart that you'll be looking for Christ. You'll be looking for his return. There's been put into your heart a desire to be with him. Wherever he is, that desire reigns supreme in your heart. Everything that happens to you, every place you're sent, everything you have to go through, face, one desire in your heart, I want to say go home, but be with Christ is another way to say it. To finally be brought in to a place of absolute presence of Christ. Knowing that it'll be forever. My brother-in-law used to like science fiction. And I told him, when you say the gospel to a non-believer, that's what it sounds like to them. Science fiction. You know, it's so weird. I have a second life in me. I'm not my own. I'm Christ. One day I'm going to go home to him. One day he's going to come back with his angels.
Amen.
One day he's going to judge the earth. You could write a science fiction novel better than that. But that's not science fiction, that's. Is every promise that he's given us fulfilled? And in our walk here, and the things he's given us to do, which he's given us certain things to do, each one of us, and when we're functioning in those things and doing those things, by the gifts he's given us, it's amazing to me that Paul would write these words about himself. He says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself as having apprehended." Isn't that amazing? All of us would have figured we apprehended something at that point. But he says, "I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." What a motivational statement. Forget your past. Forget everything about it. Forget your victories, forget your defeats. Take your face and set it towards Christ and pursue. That's amazing to me. That he would say at that time those words. We have a race, we know what it ends, don't we? At our death of the physical body or our rapture of the physical body. One of those two things is when it's going to end. And in between here and there, we're not supposed to worry about the little things behind us. But keep pressing in. How do you do that when the enemy has convinced you you're worthless? That's hard to do. Unless you can tell the enemy, "I know I'm worthless." That doesn't stop me from pressing in. I've been told to press in. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And anything you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." with the knowledge in that scripture. He knew that you should be like-minded with him and searching for God, pressing into God. And he also knew if in anything you were otherwise minded, God will show it. In a sense, that's kind of scary. Because he'll show us everything that we're other-minded in. That's not easy to be shown, though. When you're walking along and you think you're doing well, God shows you, you're other-minded in this area. Yikes! How can we then turn from that area and be minded towards Christ in that area? That calls for work to do that. You're not going to do that easily. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. You're a certain distance along in your walk already. From the time you're born again, from the time the hope of Christ enters you, you start walking. You walk through trials, you walk through temptations, walk through time, you walk through the things that come at you, the things you're trying to build, things that have been added to you, things that have been taken away from you. You're at a certain point in your journey, aren't you? Everybody is. Are we all at the same point? No. Some seem to be gifted with the ability to walk quick. And others of us seem to struggle. It doesn't matter. That's not what matters. What matters is, are you going forward? Are you walking? Are you trying to take your next step? Now Paul has tells us to mark those who rather than be followers together with me, and mark them as walks, so we have an example. So we can look in our own life, looking around for other people and say, I'm going to mark that guy. That guy is continuing to walk towards Christ no matter what. I wish I had some of that. And you mark them. You take them examples. You mark their life. You mark what they do. You try to repeat it. Make that example work in your life. And this is amazing to me, this one here. And Paul looks back and he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. To look around and find a brother now walking against the truth of God is a horrible thing. It brought Paul to tears. He couldn't believe it could start out and be doing it and then change. You know. Because then you have to think, they must not have found what I found because they wouldn't turn away. It must not have impacted their life so much that they wouldn't give up hope. They wouldn't know what price they think is worth more than what we have. That's just worded. How can you turn away, and all of us feel that way about Jesus, how can you turn away from Jesus for something else? But then Paul warns us, he'll point it out if you do. Don't be shy, he's going to let you know. And you're going to have to turn away from that thing or that desire or that whatever that came in that wants to take you away from being only Christ and Christ only. Show it to you. And you'll have to turn away. That's why we pray for each other. And you know, brother, or I actually have a brother. One. Daniel's my brother, and he's my brother. The rest of you are my brothers and sisters. But it's nice to have a brother along the same journey as you are, fighting the same battles you fight. Having the same background, the same parents is something unusual for a brother to have with you. But no matter what, we have to continue pressing forward. What does that mean? How do you press forward? He says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think you have conversations in heaven? You think about that? Having a conversation in heaven? What do we put heaven as? Our goal. Everything we want to attain to. We're having conversations there because Christ is there. You're communing with Christ. It's nice to share a meal amongst all your brothers and sisters like we do here every Sunday. We take communion together and make a statement. These are my brothers and sisters. This is the congregation I'm identified with. This is where I am. And this is where I belong. That's a nice meal. But you have many alone times, don't you? You're not gathering with your family. And it's in those alone times where we get tested most. We get attacked most. It's not easy to attack the congregation. It's easy to get attacked alone. Because you don't have any brothers and sisters around you. Now, we do by faith. But Hebrews tells us we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Tells us that so we don't ever feel alone. He says, I will always be with you. I'll never forsake you. That's not how you feel all the time. You don't always feel He's with you. Sometimes He leads you into a place that seems desolate for yourself. And you have to figure a way through those things. Never losing faith. This last verse is quite something Paul's hoping for. Something we're all hoping. Will change our vile body and may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working where He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Isn't that your hope? Someday, this vile, broad body will drop away and He'll change me into something glorious. By the mercy of His grace. We know it's not by anything we've done. We've seen what we've done. And most of the time, we don't want to talk about it. But he'll correct every mistake. He'll change you into something so amazing. You know why there's praise in heaven now. If you change your vile body into something like that, you're going to do nothing but praise Him. How did this happen? How in the world did this take place? What happened in my life that you put your life in me and now you rid me of this vile body? If that doesn't bring you help, nothing will. Now, we're people of a congregation walking through the earth day by day. We should welcome in anybody who wants to come in. We should be welcome with open arms. We're all in different spaces of our walk. We all have different things to share. We all have different visions of our Lord and Savior. We all have rulers over us. We all have Some of us, most of us have spouses, have houses. We all have a lot of things. But the pressing forward is necessary for all of us. Every one of us needs to be pressing forward. Now, all the turmoil, all the stuff that's going on in your life, and your life is different than mine that way, it's all known by God. All of it. There's not one thing that happens that God doesn't. When He tells you that the sparrow falls to the ground, I know it. And how much more valuable are you than the sparrow? Do you believe that? Do you think He has enough knowledge? Every time a sparrow dies, He knows it. It's beyond our comprehension in the sense of our mind. But our spirit can say amen to that. He knows everything, all the time, every time. He's not in the dark about anything. So as you walk through your life, you keep trying to press on, asking the Lord, what is it you want from me? What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to say? When the enemy comes in and whispers in your ear, it doesn't matter. It matters eternally. You're of no value. You're of eternal value. You have nothing to offer. You have everything to offer. You should never get discouraged. Good luck with that. We chuckle because we know that's an absurd saying. Don't be discouraged. You're not. That's what the Lord tells us. Do we get afraid? I think we do. When we're in our right mind, we don't. When we're in touch with Christ, we're not afraid. But if we're not in touch with Christ, we fear. That's all I have this morning. I don't know how to say this.
It's good, Dave.
It doesn't matter, I guess. That's close to the person. Father, I thank you for meeting me even here. Encouraging our hearts, Father, to know we're all the same. We're all on a walk to find you, Father. And we'll continue that walk.